We are in the middle of a sermon series, and it's really kind of funny how it worked out today. Today's conversation is about feeling the way in which you are invaluable to God's kingdom, which how you are invaluable to the work of God here at this church, but also in the world. And I'll share that this is a message that I have an incredible burden to share because I think that people don't really realize this. You don't realize how invaluable you are to the mission of God. You think that kind of God created you as this hunk of meat to kind of do your life, and then he sees you as his child, sure, and you're going to go to heaven, sure, but we don't see that you are invaluable to the mission of Jesus Christ. You're invaluable to our church. And so I want to share that with y'all today. It's not just a message of encouragement, but I want you to see this as a message of your identity and your calling. And so we've been in this sermon series all about being in. I'm in to God's family. I'm in the church world. I'm in as members here at the Ridge. And I want you to see what it's like to be in God's family and how to encourage you into becoming a part of the family of God locally right here in this context. But before we begin any further, would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your people. Thank you that you've gathered us, not just as individuals, but as a family together. Speak to our hearts, stir our faith, help us to see ourselves as you see us, as invaluable members of your body. God, I ask that you just feed us today, O bread of heaven. Let us come alive in the name of Christ. May we walk out of this room different than we walked in, and may we see that we are a pivotal part of your work, of your craftsmanship, of all the things you are doing in our community, in our world, and especially in this church. So in the name of Jesus, I pray all of these things. Amen. This series, we're talking about I'm In, and again, it's all about being in the body of Christ, in the body of God's world in which he has invested in you to be a part of. And so we're looking at four different weeks with kind of the I'm In starting. And so I want to walk through these together. The first one was last week, where we talked about I'm invited, where you are invited to the table, where Jesus sees the broken, the lost, those who feel like they're imperfect, those who feel like they don't have enough, those who feel like they're sitting on the sidelines and they have awful views of church. They have this deep-seated sin. They have this lostness in which they carry, but yet Jesus still reaches out and says, "Will you come near? You're invited. You're welcome here. You belong in this space." Today, we're going to talk about I'm invaluable. And we'll define invaluable here in a moment. And how you really have a part to play, how God needs you in his kingdom. And he's called you to this moment in history for this exact reason. Next week, we're going to talk about how influential you are. I'm influential in God's kingdom. How it's not just the pastor who stands up. Oh, that's a truck. I thought that was like the bass or something. I'm like, have I done something wrong? How you are influential in God's world. How God, you have influence in which you walk this earth with. People see you and they see a Jesus that they may never meet otherwise. And then finally, I'm invested. This is going to be more than a money conversation, but this is talking about like, I'm in. God, I'm all in. What does it look like to be like Isaiah in chapter 6, where he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I'm in. And these are just not nice phrases. I mean, they're cute because they have the I'm in involved in them. But this is the foundation of the church as it functions itself. Is to understand that membership is more than names on a roll. It is belonging to a body and being in the family, being in the group of individuals, and being at the table with us. I mean, we desperately need you there. Saying that this is my church, this is my family, and I'm going to use my gifts here. And so let's define invaluable. What does that mean? For some of us, we don't really know. We think that it means we're not valuable, but that's actually the opposite. It does not mean you're not valuable. Instead, it means you're so valuable that you cannot put a price on it. You are priceless. You are one of one. There will never be another one of you. There's never been another one of you. Though we try to say that in history you have these like twin doppelgangers, there's not going to be another version of yourself. Some people thank the Lord that there's not going to be another Andy at some point. But hey, you are a one of one. You're handcrafted. You are a child of God. This is why you're valuable. It's valuable in God's kingdom because of who you are. You are his son. You are his daughter. You're a child of God. You're a loved one, not because of anything that you do, but simply because of who you are. This is amazing how this shifted for me in my own life when I started having kids, because I'm going to be very honest. I love my children. I love them way more than I would ever imagine, but my kids are turds, to be fair. My son, wants to do nothing but play video games and eat nighttime snacks right before bed that are like Oreos and candy and everything else because he just wants to stay up a little longer. Like, he can get the best of me sometimes, but I love him with all of my heart. He is my child. He's not loved by me because of anything he does. It's simply who he is. And it's the same for my daughter. Though it seems like her favorite words are no. Or for me, or when you're asking her to do something, she'll look at you and say, I tie in two. Like saying, I'm trying to. She's not moving. She's sitting on the floor. I'm like, girl, let's go get changed our pajamas. I tie in two. No, you're not. Not up. Like, you know, those things. The things that can drive you nuts. I don't love them because of the things they do. I love them because of who they are. And Jesus even will speak about this, about the love for the person who's kind of the rebellion, love for the person who's lost. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is out of Luke 15, and Jesus shares this moment about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, 99 of them are with him, and one is lost. And Jesus says this, he says, doesn't the shepherd leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? I love that last little phrase, until he finds it, because it shows that our God will not give up, that our God is going to pursue you. Our God is going to come after you. Our God wants you to turn and say yes and have this relationship with him. It says in Scripture that he stands at the door knocking, and though he knocks at the door, he can watch the devil coming in the windows, but he's waiting for you to open up that door. And so this is so much more than just having something lost. I mean, to be quite fair, if I had 100 guitars, and I lost one of them, my mentality would probably be like, all right, I've left it somewhere, I've lost it, but I've got 99 others, right? That is not how God sees us. Instead, he sees us as a child. It's like my wife. My wife has 5 siblings, all girls, and if one of them was lost, I can guarantee you no one's going to be like, you know, Leah's not here. We can't find her. We have no idea where she's at, but it's okay. We've got 4 others or 5 others. Instead, we're going to turn up the house. We're going to find this person. We are going to go after them with all that we can. And so God sees you as his children. One of my favorite moments in youth ministry, which honestly, it's a fail. We did a spring retreat one year at the Boy Scout camp. And I was at St. Mark at the time as the youth pastor. And Jamie Conroy was the youth pastor here. And it was an amazing retreat. There was a lot of amazing things that happened. And I remember I was teaching something. I think it was like archery or we were doing something. But that we had a student, I had a student, his name was Scotty Gaither, which I shared it with everybody. Scotty Gaither. Scotty, if he took medicine wrong, he would sleep the entire day long. And he was old enough to where I didn't feel like I needed to be his dad and make sure he had the medicine correctly. I assumed he knew what he was doing. So we get done with our event, we get done with whatever we're doing, we're at lunch, and I'm looking around, and I'm the type of dad or youth pastor at that moment that's like, head count, do, 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 do. There's one missing, I don't know who this one is, they're missing. So lunch happens, we go through lunch, and I'm like walking around trying to find this person. I'm like, okay, they're at canoes, you know, did they fall in? They were at archery, you know, they signed up for canoes, did they walk here? And I'm asking everybody. Finally, we find him asleep in his bunk. And for me, it was the most anxiety-giving moment, not because of his parents. Barb and Shannon, I didn't even tell them that this happened, to be fair. I mean, because Scotty was like, oh, I took the wrong medicine. Like, it was just one of those teenage moments. But for me, I'm like, this kid's missing. I got to find him. And so the Lord sees us as his children. He's pursuing you. You are valuable because of who you are to him. You are his child. And this is the same with us at this church. In a healthy church family, we don't just count numbers. I can guarantee you, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for not counting numbers. But I don't count numbers on Sunday mornings. I don't come in here and I'm like, all right, everybody, count 1, 2, 3, 4. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. I care way more about the people. I care way more about the people I know who have not been here. I know when people miss. And honestly, in the last year, it's been hard because I don't know a lot of people's names. And so I'll be like, hey, the guy who like 3 Sundays ago wore a brown shirt. And people are like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, okay, well, I saw him 3 Sundays ago. I hadn't seen him since. I wanted to call and check on him. Or one of the ways that I call and check is I'll call and sing happy birthday to you sometimes just to say, just to connect. Like if I'd see you often, then hey, it's just me checking in on you. But also it's just a way for me to share some joy. But you matter. The people of God here, we matter to the Lord. I want you to be known here in this space by the gifts and talents that you share with the kingdom of God in our home here at church. So you're valuable for who you are. You're also valued because of why you were created. God designed you on purpose for a purpose. God didn't just design you and be like, whoops, fell into the world. Here you go, you're created. God designed you on purpose for a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You were brought into this time in history. You were brought in this exact moment. You sit in these exact seats to know that God has a hand in your life. God has made you, you are invaluable to him. There's a reason that you are here. You're watching online because there's a reason that you are here. And so for us, we've got to know that you are spiritually gifted, you have passions in your life, and you're placed in this moment in history to glorify God in those things. Ephesians 2:10 actually says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God's got a plan. God's got something for your life, Eli. God's got something for your life, Miss Marietta. God's got something for your life, every single one of you. You've been handcrafted. You are one of one. And this is why it's important to be a part of the church family in this. Because to be fair, membership is not about perks. I promise you there's not a whole lot of perks here other than you get to look at a 33-year-old pastor who kind of feels like he can sing sometimes and loves to pray for you. Like, there's just really not a whole lot of perks. But there is purpose. We as a church family are diving headlong into the lost of the world and welcoming them into a space to where they can find home, freedom, salvation, and all the things here. And we desperately need you to be a part of that. Being a member of a church is saying, I'm not just watching, I'm participating in what God is doing here. And so the hard part of us is that you're invaluable because of who you are as God's child. You're invaluable to God because of why you were created. But the problem for us is that there's a lot of common lies that we tell ourselves about us being created. Common lies that diminish this value that God has placed in you. The first is that I'm not talented enough. First is that I'm not talented enough. I can't tell you how many people in the church world I'll ask to do something because I've been praying about it and they have come to my mind and they're like, I don't have skills for that. I'm not talented enough in that. This person is though, and I often will hit them with kind of that holy justice of a pastor and say, yeah, but I felt like God led me to you, not to them. And it's just to say, like, you may not feel talented enough, but I believe that God is at work in your life. And you don't need to diminish your value by saying you're not talented enough. If you've got a passion and a joy for the thing, run for it. Run toward it. I can't tell you how amazing it is. I'll just share with you a personal example. We're going to be going to serve the Valley Rescue Mission Men's Addiction Recovery Space at Crossroads this upcoming Monday. When I served at the Valley Rescue Mission, my favorite days were Fridays because we did a devotion in the chapel downtown, but they would bring all the men and women and some of the homeless folks into that chapel service for us to worship. And so many of those folks could not sing at all. And I remember thinking in my head the first time I heard it, I'm like, man, these guys stink. Like, get off the stage. Like, come on. Like, leave it for someone better. But I watched the heart of worship be present. And I watched these guys through tears shed, like, it's your breath. And all along. And I mean, it's just totally off key. But I watched them worship. I was like, man, you might not be talented enough, but God is doing some amazing things. One of the ways in which we diminish our value that I disliked the most, and I still do in church, is when people tell me, I don't know the Bible enough. So you ask them, when was the last time you shared your faith? You ask them, how are you a spiritual role model at home? Or what are you doing? And they say, I don't know the Bible enough. Well, welcome to the world. I think all of us are still learning our Bible. I'm still learning my Bible. As I read it every day, something new shows up. But what God has called you to is to not, everybody does not need to be an apologetics type of individual that has every answer for every question. You want to know one of the greatest ways in which to pray for you to have more biblical knowledge? Help, Lord. And allow him to start to just download some things. As you're reading your Bible, as you're doing quiet time, you know, encourage yourself to research what some things mean. The Blue Letter Bible app is amazing if you want to see the Greek and the Hebrew. I mean, there's ways to learn more, but also don't be ashamed of your own story here. I'm sharing with our men in our Thursday lunch group that we meet. I'm having every week, we've got a different guy coming in and sharing their story where God is at work in their lives. And it's amazing to watch some of these guys who are like, I don't have a good story. And then they share it and we're captivated because we're watching as God has blessed a husband, as God has blessed a father, as God has blessed a man that's in singleness right now, and how God is still moving. So share your story. And then the last one is, if I weren't here, it wouldn't matter. That's a lie from the enemy. You not being here matters. There is someone in this room who watches you and wants to be like you and emulate worship, whether it's a young student, a kid, or even a person who's new to the faith that's like, I want to see what it's like to serve the Lord. And that person can embodies that. You also being here shows that you want to be in the local expression of the church here for the world around you. You being here allows you to prioritize some time with the Lord to where you can be built up, filled with the Holy Spirit. So you walk into work on Monday enlivened by the gospel rather than walking in with a sucking on lemons face, you know? Like you're coming in ready because the God has spoken to you. The God that you serve has spoken to you. The enemy loves to whisper, you're not needed here, but the church is incomplete without the people that God has called to belong to it. So membership can push back against isolation. Membership opens you up to a community that wants to be the outstretched arm that says, you know, I can't give you what you're asking for, but I can give you what I do have. In the name of the Father and the Son, come join us. And what's interesting is that we see this all throughout Scripture. I mean, Paul gives this amazing metaphor of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, he says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Some of us don't understand the Jew and Gentile part. The Jews were obviously the Jews. You think of them as the Israelites in Scripture. The Gentiles were those who weren't Jews. They were everybody else. And so we see this thing of this one body being built. And so it's one body, but many parts at work. The church is not the crowd. It is a body of Christ at work. And every believer has a role. And every member has a purpose. It's essential that we are plugged in. And so something that I find funny, though, is how we can think as individuals, we're one thing, but we change completely into something different when we're with groups. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to use an illustration of some animals here. So, the first animal we have is a crow, which is one of my favorite photos we have for the day. You'll like this one, a crow by itself with a knife in its mouth. Does anyone know what a group of crows are called? A murder. Murder of crows. That's why it's got a knife. It just felt like poetic justice. The murder of crows. Next is an elephant. We know an elephant by itself is called an elephant. What is an elephant in a group called? A herd. I heard it over here first. A herd of elephants. Next, we've got lions, our lion pals. If you watch The Lion King, you know this one. Lions by themselves. Lion. Group is a pride. The next one is cheetahs. Cheetahs by themselves are super fast and super cheetah by themselves. So what are they as a group? Anyone know? A coalition. Isn't that funny? Coalition of cheetahs. It's kind of funny. Now, this next one, be careful. Be careful what you think this group is. I think some of us can think it's one thing, and that thing is wrong. A donkey by itself is a donkey. A group of donkey is not that thing, but a group of donkeys are called a pace of donkeys. And then I think our final one is our pals, the vultures. Vultures by themselves are vultures. But as a group, they're called a committee. Isn't that funny? They're called a committee of vultures. That's why I call us the leadership team, the finance team. We are not going to be a bunch of vultures robbing us of our joy. And so what we can see here is that when someone is an individual, there's something. But when they're in a group, there's something completely different. For one person to believe in Jesus Christ, you are called, in Scripture, you're called a disciple. Or for us today, you're called a Christian. For us to be a part of a group, you're called a church. Or you're called the body of Christ. And so it's beautiful to see how our identity shifts when we are together as one. And so in church membership and belonging to a church family and coming on Sundays and local expression of the church, this group of believers is called the church, the body of Christ. And this is how we formally live out this truth. You don't just attend church, but you become a part of the body. And it's incredibly important for us to do so. We see that Paul actually later, after that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14 we read earlier, in verse 15, he says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? The ear does not have to be the eye to matter. We think so, because the eye is kind of more important. We see this in our society of, I mean, there's no one in love that says, I want to look longingly into the ear of the person I love. If they do, they're weird. You might want to, like, put a pause button there of, like, we need to assess some things before we continue. Or you might want to break up with that person. No one's ever had an ear-to-ear conversation. No one has ever seen the movie For Your Ears Only or The Hills Have Ears. Like, that's just not a thing. Beauty is not in the ear of the beholder, though for our person who looks longingly into the ear, maybe it is. You've got bedroom ears. It's not a thing. You've got stars in your ears, the apple of your ear. I mean, we could keep going for days. But you see that it's just because it's not the important piece there in that verbiage, it doesn't mean that it's not essential. Every part has a purpose and every part is needed. We see this in our own body. So not only just church world, but in our own body. If you look at your hand, every one of your fingers has a purpose. Thumbs up. Okay, like this is the, when we're at the beach with my kids and I like am distanced a little bit away from them, I always make them do this. Like we're good at the water's edge. We're good where we're at. Thumbs up. Pointer finger, we know, point. Maybe you pick your nose. Whatever you want to do with this finger, it's got a purpose. The middle finger has got a purpose, but it's certainly not Christ-like. So that's not the one I'm going to show you. Your ring finger holds your ring on it. I got my ring on it. But did you know the pinky finger is not just for going wee, wee, wee all the way home? Do you not know that? The pinky finger actually has 50% of your hand's strength. That one finger, it's got an interesting purpose. Another part of our body that has interesting purpose, the uvula. You know the little dangly thing in the back of your throat that every cartoon would have someone punch it at some point, like a punching bag? The uvula, over the course of your life, will create enough saliva to fill up 2 swimming pools. Okay. It is ill, yeah, I guess, but that's how your body works, sorry. And then the other funky one, which I'm sharing all these with you because they're just funny, but the other one, armpit hair. Did you know that armpit hair has a purpose? Armpit hair has a purpose. Armpit hair actually diffuses your sweat, and it diffuses your smell and makes you smell better for your mate. And so often, or your partner, so often, I've heard stories of men that go to work out or whatever. They go to work out, and they come back, and they're like, you know, you smell pretty, you smell good. And you're like, I just got done with the gym. I don't know how that works out. There's a moment where I was working outside one day, and I remember walking in, and Les is like, you don't smell bad, you smell good. And I remember thinking, like, oh, this is it. Like, this is what intrigues you? Okay. So, like, last week we talked about ladies letting their hair down and doing that thing. Well, all I got to do is this, and she's good, you know? Let's go. You're welcome, Leslie. So your body has these different parts that all have a extreme purpose. And so this is the same of becoming a member in a church. It's acknowledging that your part matters here, even the parts that are behind the scenes. We see many stories throughout history where praying mamas or praying individuals were praying for years upon years upon years before things happened, or people that worked behind the scenes were actually doing some amazing work in God's kingdom that no one ever knew about. And so we have those spaces here at our church too. I want to just encourage, I mean, we have a hospitality team that handles refreshments every week, and they sacrifice not being in this room to make sure things are ready and going. We have a team that's in a control room that handle a live stream for our YouTube audience. They often sacrifice being in this space with us so that they can provide for those online to experience the gospel message. Every part matters. And so here's the important part for us to hear today. There's specifically 2 pieces to this, but the first is, wake up. Don't let your part fall asleep. Wake up. If you're the type of person that you know God's called you into this time in history, you know that God's at work in your life, then wake up and do your part. Stop allowing other people to do that thing for you. Stop being one that disconnects because life gets hard, but instead lean in. God, what are you trying to show me in this moment of discomfort? What are you trying to show me when you're calling me to do something that may not be comfortable for me, but I'm going to lean in because I am a part of the body that matters. God, you need me. The illustration here for me is simply, if you've ever had a part of your body that fell asleep, like there's many a nights I sleep on my side, so my arm will fall asleep, and then in the morning I'm just kind of like that. I'm like, you know, Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing. And it falls asleep and it takes forever for the tingles to come. And then once the tingles come, you're like, all right, I don't have to cut this thing off. We'll be good. And so, I don't want y'all to be the type of body part that's fallen asleep. When you have fallen asleep, when your part has fallen asleep, the rest of us have to work harder. The rest of us have to overcompensate, and we maybe cut our part short to overcompensate for yours. And so don't fall asleep. When we don't use our gifts, the rest of the body must strain to compensate. There are people that God wants to reach. There's ministries that God wants us to be a part of. There's missions that are tailored to you. And I need you. You need me. We need each other. And so you may feel like you have fallen asleep, but then there's also people in this room who I know that you feel this way. You think your past disqualifies you from anything, from being a part of a member of a church, from doing anything. You've maybe been told by another church that your past would never allow you to do these certain things. But your past does not disqualify you. In fact, I firmly believe it prepares you for whatever God's got next. I firmly believe that God is working in it. See, God does not sideline people because with broken stories. Instead, we see in Scripture, He redeems them. He uses them as actually the mouthpiece often. And it's using that, it's leaning into that. Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And so this is an example of my own story. I have fallen short many times. Saint Andy in high school and college, that was everything I needed to be for the old lady Sunday school class on a Sunday morning when I'd go hug their necks, and I was seen as the sweetest kid ever, but yet lived a completely different life outside of that. God was still working in me in that moment to where now I don't mind going to the bar and sharing about Jesus. Because I've been there otherwise. Why not go bring the gospel? I don't mind going into the darkest spaces personally. It does not bother me because I want the gospel to be the light in the dark. And so for you, you may have experienced a tainted past, but God is using that. He's knitting it into a beautiful tapestry for His kingdom. And so for some of us, you feel as though you just cannot be forgiven in those things. And that's just not true. For some of us, you may feel like your marriage failed, so you can't lead in any capacity. You can't really even belong. But I believe that you're the perfect person to help others heal. You may think you don't know enough, but if you know Jesus and you know people, and you love them, you know enough. You may be addicted to drugs, and you feel like you cannot minister to others because you're still trying to put down your addiction, or you've got a coin for sobriety that you're only like 3 months sober in, and you're thinking, well, it'll be a problem for future me to have to share those things. That's false. God is wanting to use you in this moment. Your story will inspire others. The men on Thursday at lunch, they can share with you. Every man that's spoken has inspired us to living for the kingdom of God. And so, my friends, your presence matters. Your presence matters. If you were at my dining, if you're a part of the family and you're missing from the dining room table, we're going to miss you. We're going to need to find you. We're going to have to ask you, hey, why didn't you make dinner tonight? Why aren't you coming? Something is incomplete. And so when you belong to a church family, your absence is not neutral. It's noticed. It's noticed. Your story, your gift, your present, it adds something that no one else can. For those of you in this room that you've been missing from church, that you haven't been here in a while, or maybe you're missing from church membership, or maybe you just don't even know, it matters. It matters to me. I pray for y'all by name. If you've ever been a member of this church, The Ridge, I have a gigantic stack of names, and you will know if you ever walk in my office, you'll see there's names on my board that I pray through every single week. It's a different name, but it matters because I need you to be doing your job just like me doing mine. And so our call to engagement is simply this. With everything in you, I want you to do your part. With everything in you, do what you do so I can do what I do. If you've been attending but not belonging, this is the invitation to step in. And then if you've grown passive in your place, this is the call to re-engage. We need you. For where The Ridge is going next, we need you. For where the kingdom of God is going next, we need you. Revival is breaking out in our country. We're seeing this on college campuses. We're seeing this all around where God is specifically sitting in places and meeting people who are broken, and they need church homes that want to say, come here, baby Christian, let me help you grow in your faith, or we need to be a space that receives them into a local expression of what it looks like to actually be a Christian rather than what they've seen on television. And so I need you. Church membership is all about shared responsibility. It's how we say, I belong here and I'm committed to God's mission here. It is calling you out of the stands and onto the bench to be called out into the play. And so for those of us in this room that you just need that reminder, I want to give it to you. But I'm also aware that there are some in this room who you've never said yes to Jesus. You find yourself being the one sheep that is lost, and you see 99 others around you, and you think, maybe even think that you belong to the 99, but you've never said yes to Christ. And so today is a day for you that you can say yes. Luke 15 shares about Jesus going after the one. He's always pursuing that one, hoping that you will turn and be carried by him back to the group. And so what you need to hear is, if you've never accepted Jesus, Jesus died for your sins and he rose again. If you call upon his name and you believe with your heart, you will be saved. And today can be that day. Salvation brings you into the universal church as a whole, but membership roots you into the local family where you live out your faith with others. This is why it's important to be in journey groups. This is why it's important to grow here. It's because we yearn to see you be discipled. And so what I just want you to hear is that every part matters. Last week we shared you are invited because you are. You're invited to this table. But today I want you to just hear from my mouth, every single one of you are invaluable to the mission of the gospel for the world, but also invaluable in the name of Jesus right here. And so will you plug in? Will you re-engage? Will you say yes, maybe for the first time? And let's, for lack of better terms, shake the gates of hell together. I want to see the most broken people in society find Christ here. And so again, I'm invited, I'm invaluable, I'm influential, and I am invested. That is where we're headed. And so I pray that you will be able to internalize that. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are calling us to way more than what we live. You're calling us to way more connection with the gospel than we currently have. You're calling us to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine, than we ask or imagine. And so, Lord, I just pray you stir inside of us the need for us to belong in the church family. Pray you stir inside of us the re-engagement of our gifts to just say, hey, I've been sitting on the sideline for way too long, but God's calling me into the play for my workspace, for my family. You know, what would it look like, God, if all of us stood up and were the spiritual role models for our family, to where our kids didn't catch us watching reels on our phones that aren't appropriate, but instead we're opening our Bible and conversing with the God who created such reels, the company to even do it. And God, I'm just captivated with the way that you want to be with us. You are pursuing us consistently. You want the relationship. And so often we turn our head away, but I pray as a church we can commit to seeing ourselves as you see us, your children with invaluable capabilities. Thank you, God, for where you're at work. I praise you for what is to come. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.